Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Welcome back to another episode of Hard Reads, guys. It is TK Breezy here with Austin, along with special guest Alfred, and we are going to talk about quarantine series and, of course, the new, well, I guess the other topic, the new ARMS character being confirmed for the next DLC, which like a lot of people don't even know that ARMS existed, or maybe they did, but they never played it.
Hey,
look, it was a solid game for like 2 weeks, man. Like,
Come on, dude. It had at least a month.
Two weeks is pretty generous.
Yeah. No, come on, dude. The ARMS saga happened literally like 2 months, 3 months after the game came out, and it was popping.
That was a bold move.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing about ARMS saga is that like that's what killed the game, weirdly enough. Like after ARMS saga, like that was the pinnacle of ARMS.
So you're like,
well, we've did it. We've held a successful ARM tournament. We can move back over to Smash.
If I can just rip the Band-Aid off on that, I'm actually kind of, like, despite not liking ARMS at all, okay. I'm so excited for an ARMS character because I think the character designs are hype, the music's sick, but the gameplay's ass. So it's kind of like, when you remove the gameplay and put it in an engine that works, I'm hype about it.
Yeah, I'm very interested in seeing that too. So, like,
it's an opinion. Like, I understand people like it, and I'm never going to bash people for liking things I dislike, but I just was not a fan of it.
I think... Whatever, just go.
Now, come on, ARMS representative, please.
Okay, so listen, ARMS was fun.
Right? Okay.
Keyword was... That's the key word. It was super fun when I first played it in the first couple of months. I had so much fun playing that game. It eventually devolved into who made the second move. So you never wanted to swing.
Yeah.
So at a top level, not the greatest competitive game. But on a casual level, it's fun as hell.
Okay. I'll give it that. I respect it. Isn't it free right now on something? Like you can play
it's free right now.
Free until like April something.
On the Switch?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. All right.
PS4, bro.
I might get back in there.
ARMS 2! It's coming out.
They're going to be like, bust your Wii back out and let's get in there. Imagine that. The ARMS 2 is coming, though. I feel like there's no...
It definitely is.
Like, out of nowhere, an ARMS character. And even though, like, you know, there is other games that have come out that don't really have any promotion. Like, you know, Banjo came out and there's no Banjo-Kazooie coming out again. But... In the direct, he even was like, yeah, y'all should go back and play that shit. So I could see him saying that, or, hey, there's going to be a new one coming soon, so, you know, don't sleep.
I think it could be a second one, because especially, like, Banjo wasn't first party. Right. I think that's a big thing, is, like, they want to include these third-party characters with, like, legacy, because I'm in the belief that, like, this is going to be the last, like, Sakurai Smash Bros., so he's trying to go all out, and whatever happens next is going to be, like, a younger... developer, director, who's going to focus more on like modern IP. So I feel like that's the reason in Ultimate why we're getting all this K. Rool, Banjo, Simon, like a lot of those characters would never exist if this IP of Smash was created in today's day and age. If it didn't stand for a legacy of video games, I don't think any of those characters would get in. And all Nintendo first party characters for DLC have typically promoted something. I think like originally, when you have your in Smash 4, your Mewtwo, Lucas, Roy, like those are just kind of like, sure, whatever. And then they realize that you can actually shill these, and then we get a Corrin, you know, and then Bayonetta, but that's kind of like not Nintendo, but it essentially is at this point.
It's second party.
Yeah, well, Bayonetta 3 coming out, you know, saying we're
one day
Nintendo now. Eventually, that's actually like the first trailer we saw for like fucking Switch, and like there's no other info about it.
Metroid Prime 4.
I was just about to bring that up. We still got that splash screen, baby.
The Switch XL is going to come out before that game comes out. Switch. I don't know. Switch swap. I don't know what the fuck they would call it. The next generation Switch, which is still going to play all the same games.
Switch U.
I mean, switch it up.
Yeah, I was about to say
Switch U. right, so all right, before we get to the other topic, best guess on what the character is that you think would actually make it in. I went with Ribbon Girl until everyone reminded me that Ribbon Girl's outfit, which really doesn't matter. But now I'm still going to go with Ribbon Girl, but I would also be okay with Twin Tail.
I'm also in the Ribbon Girl camp because I feel like if you're going off promotional art, she has been in an equal amount of promotional art as Spring Man. And also, even though that like the Mii costume debacle, it's going to be interesting because one way or another, a rule for deconfirmation is going to be invalidated with this release because either Spring Man gets in and assist trophies can be in, Ribbon Girl gets in and Mii costumes can be promoted via DLC, or Twin Tail, Min Min, and Najara get in and then Spirits can be DLC. So like any one of those five characters get in, it's going to spark up a, it's going to open a new door for other characters.
Hey, I didn't even think
But it's going to be Bind Bark. It's going to be Bind Bark.
Oh my God.
That's a bold choice.
Yeah,
it's they're going to do some bullshit and they're going to announce ARMS 2 and then say, look at this new age Spring Man. Don't you want
to smash? Oh, no! That'd be terrible!
Then the people who don't want ARMS in the game are going to be unhappy, and the people who do want ARMS in the game are going to be unhappy. Everyone wins.
Bro, who's the one character you wouldn't want in, though? How about that?
The robot version.
I think I'm going to go with Mechanica. I would not want to play against that.
I don't know. I don't really care, honestly. Like, yeah. If I had to make a list of characters I wanted in the game, I don't really think ARMS would be.
No. I mean, who of the ARMS character would you not?
Yeah. I feel like they're all relatively equal to me. I don't really.
Springman Robot. Oh, so the evil version of Springman. Springtron, whatever the hell his name is.
Did you play story mode like a lot? I forgot all about that shit.
No, I didn't.
That was DLC.
He's playable character.
Oh, true. All right.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think I made it that long. As I said, you know, it was about 2 weeks.
I feel
he had that move that could like get rid of punches that are coming his way. It was kind of bullcrap.
Oh, yeah. Max Brass would be cool too. I think would be for him to make it in. But
I would love that actually.
That'd be interesting. Anyway, so
given the bullcrap word, I got to know: am I censored as well?
No, you can say
I don't know why he said that shit. Like,
okay.
I feel like I'm going to censor myself for some reason. I don't really know why. We usually don't.
I'll say pretty much anything here. Regardless, man. All right, we're going to move over to the next subject. We got the Quarantine series and the creator, or half of the Quarantine series team, Alf right here. So what sparked that outside of, you know, I know we're all quarantined for a reason, but what sparked you to thinking like, hey, we should, you know, really make something happen while we're all locked away?
A few things, honestly. I would be lying if I said I would have my career right now if it wasn't for the Smash community. Double negative was weird there, but the Smash community gave me my career, and I recognize that. I gotta recognize that. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to give back, but I never really knew how to do it in a way that would feel natural and appropriate and realistic. I think that's the key word as well. And I got really lucky that during this quarantine with COVID going on and everything, I am able to continue my job as per usual, and I can still make the same amount of revenue, if not more, because more people are staying at home. Sponsors are pulling out of big companies like NBA and investing into like YouTube and stuff like that. So it's like, if anything, the career that the people gave to me, I'm able to just do still, like, and nothing changed. And that's not true for the players who made money from events. It's not true for the commentators who had a cast for their money. It's not true for the tournament organizers who probably lost the most because they are now in the red because they had to cancel so many things for their events and then move it. And rescheduling is such a hassle. So we mainly wanted to, or I wanted to create a tournament series that would last for about 4 months or so. And I was already talking to some people to make it happen. And then that exact same day I was like the gears were turning, Critical messaged me and said, hey, I want to do another tournament for like, because everyone's quarantined and everything. And I said, I actually had this idea for Circuit. Like I want to do a full tournament series. And then him and I just came together. We hammered out the ideas and we just, that's kind of it. We just wanted to give back to everyone who in a way has given to him. He's just a nice guy and wants to invest in the scene. He's always had an interest in. But for me, I definitely feel like I owe it to the community to do something like this. And that's kind of it.
All right. I mean, that's pretty dope. I mean, as I say, you hit a lot of points. A lot of us are kind of like, I'll say struggling, but we're obviously not making, well, I own about players, but from
would
my own
like
perspective.
Would you like to be making more money?
Yeah, from my own perspective, yes. Like, I definitely lost a pretty huge paycheck, but luckily I still had, you know, the income coming in from my stream and other like little sponsors and venue ships and shit. So like, I'm fine in that aspect, but yeah, that you can definitely, there's a missing piece. And like, I feel like that's what you're trying to feel.
That's our goal, at least, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I had my other question, I guess, was, you know, like, it's a lot of money on the line. I think it's 10K, right? That's the top.
Yeah, that was the first one.
Where did that come from? Like,
so I'm not gonna lie. YouTube at this point, when you're in this like upper echelon, it does pay well. And Charlie and I kind of hammered out the details, and we are looking into getting sponsors on board for the future tournaments. But the beginning tournaments is definitely out of our own pockets. We fronted the money. We decided we wanted to do maybe 5 or 10K for the first tournament. And then we kind of talked around. I know Charlie reached out to Zero, and Zero put in, I think, $1,200. And then Charlie and I split the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the money came from for the first one. So that's about $4,400, I think, roughly, from both of us for the first
tournament.
That's
super cool of you guys.
Yeah.
It is cool, but we are thinking of trying to figure out how we can put sponsors on those tournaments who retroactively reimburse us. So it's more of an investment than charitable donation, to be honest. But we're just trying to get the kickoff event isn't part of the circuit itself. It was a show match to get everyone's eyes on the tournament.
Right.
That's why we had all the top players, and we had some top talent in terms of casting. And we didn't really have any of the TOs because there's a 32-man bracket, so we could just knock it out ourselves.
Okay.
But we are going to start reaching out to other casters, the players kind of enter on their own will, but we're going to try and get other TOs to help per tournament and everything like that. And we're already talking to a lot of sponsors, and we have a lot of interest in these tournaments, and that's kind of where the money's coming from, really.
And so when you say sponsors, you mean like sponsor slides, like you'll have like, all right, you know, this tournament brought to you by like HyperX, or this tournament brought to you by stuff like that.
Yeah, that's kind of like typically what you see in like esport events. But I think like since Critical and I, like our YouTube channels are like just they have a big flashy number by them.
Right.
And like you can't really act like, oh, that determines my worth. But to sponsors, it does. So we kind of get to flex that number. And then we get these bigger sponsors who have never really done YouTube stuff before. Like, what's a random brand? Let's say Walmart's, like, not sponsoring anything, I can promise you, but people have come to us and they'll be like, what if you make game 5 of every set the Walmart game? Like, it's just these super tone deaf ideas, but it's like they still are interested, they just don't know how to integrate it. And that's what we're trying to find, that middle ground. Like, we definitely talked to a battery company, and it was like, what if you got everyone to play on Wavebird controllers? And we're just like, no.
Bro, I feel like the people at the top like of the food chain in terms of money, like a lot of them just invest in stuff that they know nothing about. And they're like, oh, they trust, they put so much trust in the people that are in charge of running it, you know? So
in my experience, you definitely have to strike that middle ground of what their brain makes sense of and how you can spin it, you know?
Yeah. I'm always a little wary about sponsors that like are not really in the game space, because like, I mean, they can be in the game space in a way, but like being in the game space for a competitive and being in the game space for casual is like a totally different thing. A casual person would definitely see a Wavebird and be like, yo, I can play from my couch. Sick.
Yeah.
But like a competitive person would not see that. You know?
Yeah.
It's one thing about all those frames I'm not going to get, so.
With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of sports, esports, events, and games to wager on. Or let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day and all online, including their $750,000 poker series. If you're into props entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the weather. Visit BetOnline website and join today to receive a 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Be sure to use promo code Blue Wire. Bet Online, your online wagering experts.
another question about your I guess your thoughts on the viability on Wi-Fi. Like, I know that we're like, we're stuck with Wi-Fi, obviously. Like, we're not going to get, it's not going to get any better. But at the same time, we're all stuck at home. So to me, I feel like a lot of people, I've seen a couple of complaints about people being upset that it's a Wi-Fi tournament, but like, what other choice do you have? You know what I mean? Like, where did, what is this?
Yeah. A lot of those complaints I saw with like the SOAT series, the first Critical tournament.
Yeah.
But I haven't really seen that as much with the Quarantine series, because people kind of accept, okay, we're doing this because of the quarantine, because of the C word. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it, I feel like people are less upset about this since there really aren't other options at the time.
Yeah, would you have tried to like run this if it wasn't for the coronavirus? Like, would you have tried to like, no, not at all.
Hmm.
There's no reason.
This was exclusively a thought because what was the first tournament?
That got canceled or?
Yeah.
Whatever's right after CEO.
CEO Dreamland was the last event.
Right. So
yeah,
like there was Town.
Something got canceled and it clicked in my head that I was like, oh shit.
Town, Final Saga.
Maybe Final Saga. I think it was, I was talking to the people of Collision for an event. Okay. And then I was like,
yeah, Collision canceled or postponed.
I was going to go to Coachella, actually. And then it was the same weekend of Collision. And then I was like, oh, wait, Coachella just got canceled. I'll come to Collision. And then I was like, wait, why did it get canceled? And then I start realizing, okay, maybe Collision is going to get delayed too. And sure enough, it did. So it's just like, I don't know. It was some tournaments that just kept getting canceled. Planes kept getting canceled. And then I was like, all right, I want to do something because I have the tools and resources to, because that's the only thing that really prevents people from doing things. So I would honestly, in a way, feel guilty if I didn't take advantage of the resources that I have to give something back to the community at large. And that sounds like some frou-frou bullshit, but it really is true.
On the tournament side of things, were you ever thinking about doing some version of a casual tournament? Because, you know, you are the casual master.
Yeah, I will.
Tournament right now.
I wanted to. I still might sneak one in the middle of the quarantine series.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the hype.
Yeah.
Make it worth points.
Yeah. That's the one thing. Like, I feel so bad. I was going to actually make a casual tournament, but then, like, when we started talking about the circuit idea, I was like, yeah, this makes much more sense and benefits the people who need it, because I know there are a lot of people with like super cozy jobs or like mid-level players, mid-level casters who haven't like really fully committed to this or not able to. So I think we really wanted to target the top level players and casters throughout this series so we can assure that they still make income in this scary time, which is like a hard threshold to draw, because I never wanted to make it look like I'm picking favorites or anything. Right. It's just, yeah. Right. It's just like we have all these tournaments, and I'm going to try and spread the wealth as much as we possibly can. And that's hard.
No, I mean, like, it makes sense, though. Like, your thought process is correct, because like the top echelon of commentators, you know, like me, D1, EE, we're all, this is our job. Like, we don't go into an office during the week. We stream or we make content and stuff, while like, you know, some of the lesser but still good commentators who haven't committed as much time. Still have jobs. Austin, I think you still have a job, right?
I do not, no.
You did, though.
I did. I left.
All right. I definitely did at some point.
I left it in December. December was the last month I worked. So
okay. All right. So you're on the full-time grind now.
Yes. So I picked a terrible time.
Probably. Yeah, honestly, yeah.
No, we'll get work for you guys. Don't worry. We're just trying to I think this next one's going to be bigger, because if we can get more streams on deck, that means there are more casters that we can get to pretty much pay, right?
Right.
And a lot of those fees will be taken from sponsors, hopefully. And realistically, yes, we're talking to a lot of people already. But we're just
You're trying to stream every match, right?
No. God, no.
Oh, okay. It was very long. Like, it was a very long tournament. So I was like a 32-man bracket.
Yeah, the 32-man bracket. Yeah, we probably streamed over half of the sets.
Okay.
But that's like a 32-man bracket. When we're going to like a 2,000-person open bracket, hell no.
Yeah, I saw casting for like 7 hours. Billy? Like,
it's not always an invitational then. Because that was more of like an invitational deal.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay.
That was just, it was a show match, if anything. We were just trying to be like, hey, everyone, look at this top talent we have. By the way, we're hosting a circuit. Haha.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why, like, that was more of an investment from our end, because not only was it a fiscal investment, it was also a time investment of us getting everyone's eyes on this.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. So here's another good question. So if the, you know, the quarantine gets worse, right? You know, we're still stuck in our house, I guess, after the four months. Do you plan to continue doing this, or like, or make another one, a quarantine series two, or what's up?
We haven't discussed anything like that. But as long, like, I don't really mind going in the red for something like this. As long as it's not anything abhorrent, I would be very open to doing like a second season of online events. Especially if we can find more people to help us to kind of take the load off our backs. Because the easier it is to do, the more likely we are to do it again, right?
Right. Right. So I noticed that you guys have also given the rights to VG Bootcamp for the videos. Instead of them going on your own channel, was there like a strategic reason behind that, or just, you know, I know VG Bootcamp is like the biggest Smash YouTube.
Yeah, it was kind of that. It's like we work with like other streaming companies who like also require tournament VODs for income, because, you know, they have staff, they have teams and whatnot. Yeah. So we would like to work, because this is kind of a pipe dream. We're trying to round up in the next few weeks, but we want to get like different teams on for different events. So like if we can reach out to like Attorney Locator, who like, okay, you stream this one and then you can upload the VODs on your own. Or if it's something like we can have multiple streams, we can have like a VGBC and like a TLOC, and they can have two streams up on top of ours, which means we now have four blocks for commentators at any given point. So eight casters going on. And that's kind of how we're looking to spread the wealth. And but for VGBC, it was just kind of like Gimmer reached out to me and I was like, hey, do you want the VODs? Because God knows we're not going to do anything with them, because neither me nor Critical have a spot on our channel for those.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. They're lacking the videos too.
Huh?
They're lacking the videos too, because they're not doing tournaments anymore. So that's
So that's kind of why we were trying to hand that over to them, because it was more beneficial for them to have than us. And because also people look to VGBC for tournament VODs, not Alpha Rider Critical.
Right.
And then when Gimmer started talking to us about like hosting Pound online and everything, so we decided to include that in the quarantine series circuit as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he was doing anything with that.
Yeah,
I thought
he Pound Online.
Call it a day.
Oh yeah, they'll be formally announced like tomorrow or today, I think. But
I hope so.
We also asked it during the quarantine series, so I think we're just rolling with it.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that, you know, because I noticed that he has been doing Xanadu's online. And a lot of things have gone online recently, yeah. Which is good. Which is good. You know, it's unfortunate that that's the, you know, the landscape that we're in right now, but it's a way to keep people engaged in their favorite games. I mean, it's not even just Smash, too. I've seen Granblue has had tournaments online. Tekken's had tournaments online. So for the, you know, foreseeable future, this is what we're doing, you know? And it's basically you're at this point where you're like, get with it or get home, because there's like nothing else you can do. You can't be like, oh man, no one's running tournaments, it's time for me to run it, because no one's going to fucking go. Like, that shit is not going to happen. So, oh, speaking of, if it does become over, would you ever like want to run your own national? Or I guess, well, you have PG for that. So
I've always kind of wanted to, but running tournaments is fucking expensive.
Yes.
It's like on the, like, a good tournament is a couple $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we
talked about that on an episode before this too, because that we saw that one head-ass tweet about, why don't you just take the 10K and run a tournament? It's, come on, 10K? Like, what is that, bro?
Dude, 10K in the big scheme is not a lot of money when you're trying to make moves. Like,
right.
10K is like comfy living money. It's not good business money.
Not at all. I mean, that's going to buy you like an hour in like like a small convention center. Like, thanks, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get like a booth.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I have thought about doing it, because I always like, I think when I thought about hosting an event the most was in the Smash 4 days, when everyone was complaining about like everything counts for the PGR. You can't take any tournaments off and stuff like that. So I kind of did want to host like in a casual tournament with like items and shit, but have it to where it's just like, it can't count for the PGR because it's so bullshit, but actually get a pot on it. So like people would take it relatively seriously. But that's just, I don't know. Logistics are hard. Plus, I never really found the time for it. I have started considering it again for Ultimate, but I just haven't found like people to host it with, I guess, is my biggest thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's probably a little rough. I mean, I know that like PG has, you guys have the TOs, you guys have like Dash and stuff and whatnot. But like still, you know, just finding the right place and time and resources.
Yeah, time is a big thing.
Yeah.
Plus, because no one really talks, you know, like events aren't public till they're public. And then you could actually accidentally announce something. Like if someone announces an event 2 weeks before you, but you've been planning it for 6 months longer, you know? People see it as the person who announced it first.
Yeah. I mean, that was happening a lot with 2GG in the 4 days. So,
yeah. Rip. Mm-hmm. And when you host an event every month.
What'd you say?
Oh, I was saying that happened a lot with the Dragon Ball FighterZ back when it first came out, because like everyone wanted to get the Sonic Vox versus Goichi match.
Oh, yeah.
It's
so
everyone was always getting those first attempts. So it happened like three times.
Yeah, it was getting a little old. I remember. I was like, all right, I don't need to see this.
Well, it's because they all planned it, and then they still had to go through with it, you know, even though it just happened.
Yeah, now it's like a first of 50 in like 2 weeks, and you're like, what the? Just happened here. It just happened. So, I guess I talked to Samurai Panda about something that Panda was doing. I don't know if that's public knowledge yet, but you're not. Are you part of that? Is that the quarantine series, or is that something?
What thing?
We can talk later then. Never mind. Yeah.
I think later, bro.
Type in chat.
All right, let me go back to my look real quick. This is gonna be very interesting for the YouTube. Like, what the fuck were they talking about?
Is this public?
I don't know if it was public. Let me just. I forgot his actual name. What is his first
Alan?
Name? Alan.
Yeah.
There we go.
So guys, this is what we in the industry call stalling.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So anyway, shout out to our sponsors.
Back to the merch.
Oh, the bamboo battles. Okay.
That's announced.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's something different though.
Yeah. That's just like a little weekly fun tournaments.
Okay. And you're but you're not, are you a part of that or?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a part of it, no.
Okay. I mean, because I know like you're, I'm aware you know, you're Panda, of it. So.
Yeah. My interest with, not interest with Panda, but definitely I've been a little busier with my music, my own stuff, the quarantine series, and a completely unrelated project that I think I've told you about that will come out TM soon.
I know about the music project, but that just came out. So you have okay, I got it.
Yeah, you remember. There's a big project behind closed doors.
Okay. All right, yeah. So we got some guys, if you haven't checked out Fred's music project, definitely do that. My Tori and Deanna, my girlfriend and her sister are part of the project as well. So if you guys
They did backing vocals and killed it.
Yeah, here's some cool stuff as well as, you know, the rest of the community. Were you working a lot with Johnny that's all that Deanna has listened to since she's been back home.
No, she's kind of a rabid fangirl at this point. Yeah. But no, Johnny is like one of my closest friends since I was like 16, 17.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like that's how I know him. And then I started doing YouTube. He kind of went off and majored in fashion. So he's like this musical madman. And then I come back and I started wanting to do music again. So he really like helped me a lot. And he produced the album. Okay. And so, you know, he just kind of makes. Sorry, is there a Tori in chat? So, do you call her rabbit fan? I did. She knows it.
Is he wrong?
Damn.
I am not. She's definitely in like the top 1% of Spotify listen already notification. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, but it's good music though, so I ain't mad. But no, I've definitely heard it quite a bit. I'm like, damn, dude. I'm always like, who was the? I know who it is. Don't even have to ask anymore.
No, Johnny's great. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Do you have any more? You got any more questions for him? Or
I was just gonna say it was crazy listening.
My marks.
I was just gonna ask you. It was crazy listening to you rap. In all honesty, like that caught me a little bit off guard.
It was pretty melodic.
Yeah, it was very.
So let it be known for people listening to this out of context. That is not my original music he's referencing. My friend, Family Jewels. He does like metal VG covers. And he came out to Oklahoma because his girlfriend, Adriana Figueroa, she is featured on one of the tracks on the album, and they were at PAX East, so they just stopped by Oklahoma on the way back and then went back to San Diego where they live. And so while we were there, they spent a week here. We just kind of hung out, and he was like, hey, if we could crank out like a cover, that would make my life so much easier. I'd stress a lot less. And we go, sure. So we started figuring out what song to do. So we did a Reach Out to the Truth from Persona 4. Yeah. And we kind of try to make it a bit more interesting. Not more interesting. I think we had five musicians together who are all like fairly talented. And we try to say, how can we make this work the most? So we try to play to our strengths. And Lotus Juice, who does like a lot of the rapping for Persona 3 and whatnot, and in some like Persona 4 tracks, especially like I think he was in the dancing soundtrack. Like, we didn't want Adriana to do all the vocals, so they kind of threw me on the verse because it's just really rhythmic talking. It's not like that is rapping if you boil it down, but it was just like so much spoken word more so than like rapping, I think, because I think those are actually very different things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 21 Pilots and then like 2 Chainz or 2 Dead.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. Those are so different.
Yeah.
And it's like the syncopation of it also weird, because like I had to listen to the song because none of the lyrics really match the beat of the song, so it's like very hard to actually perform. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's the extent of me rapping, I guess.
All right, some bars. You know what I'm saying? You got them in the channel.
Yes.
Oh man. So yeah, quarantine series, man. You guys, when's the next
April 18th is a minor tournament, and we're just breaking it up. Like, we're not going to try and make a convoluted A, B, C, S tier just because like that changes so frequently depending on the people. So we're just going to have arbitrarily smaller tournaments. So this is a minor, and that's going to be on April 18th. And we're just kind of saying like this has a smaller pot bonus than the majors might. And we're going to focus on them less. We might float top players in the majors just to have some kind of difference. And I've always been pro floating top players as far as tournaments go.
Yeah.
So like now we actually have a tournament where we can float. So that's a pretty hot take, but
yeah,
I don't know.
it's a hot subject, but I think it just depends on which players are getting floated. Like, I don't want to float top 50, but I would definitely float like top 10. Like, I mean, these guys are going to make it.
Yeah, if you float like the top 16 seed, I see no problem with that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think the best thing a tournament can do is have top players. And if you can incentivize them to stay one less day at your tournament, they're more likely to 2 days than 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just get them out of day one entirely, I feel like that's kind of the... I feel like that's just... I would want to travel to an event I could spend less time at, if that makes sense.
Yeah. To me, I think there was only one counter argument against that. But the thing is, most top players are not getting upset. Not most. Almost no top players are getting upset in pools. So to them, that's just, I don't know. It's almost like a play your fans type deal.
It is. Yeah. They're like, because you sit down with someone, oh, I'm probably going to lose. And I'm like, come on.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. No, but like, no one feels good about winning at that.
Yeah. It's like, all right, who's your pool? Oh, I'm playing Pikachu Master 5000, whatever. And then if I beat him, I get to play MK Leo. It's like, you're not even like I get to beat or I get to try my hand. Yeah. Like, you know, you're losing.
Back in the day, like in the Oklahoma Melee Discord, a Puff main had to play Armada in winners round one of Evo pools. And then, like, you know, everyone sees that and goes, damn, someone had to.
Yeah,
but there's one guy in the Oklahoma Melee Discord. It's like, okay, well, how much Puff experience does he really have? Only HBox.
I mean, okay, it's good to be optimistic. It is.
Yeah, but he goes, yeah. And then
it's HBox, though. You know, he's like literally the only person that will ever hit top 8 with Puff. Like, so
he knows HBox, not me.
I'll hit him with
he knows HBox.
Low level tricks.
I'm different, bro. No, and but go ahead.
He took two stocks in the match because I think Armada blind picked Peach and just went with it because it's Peach Puff. Matchup's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he still, like, he took two stocks and then that guy posted, I was like, yes, I knew he could almost win. Like, if he took two stocks this game, next time he gets the download and they play, he's going to take four stocks. And I was just like, where is this blind optimism coming from?
I need that level of optimism in my life.
Yeah.
Life's depressing right now. God, I need
it. It really is, you know. But if I could be that optimistic about taking two stocks out of a four-stock game, you did 50% of the work, and you're now believing that.
And if you look at the results, you got zero.
Yeah, if you look at the actual bracket, it's like
that's 0-2, a swift 2-0.
Yeah.
It was close, though.
It was you know, he said that. It was close, though. I got two stocks.
You got two stocks. No, but the argument for the floating on the opposite side, a lot of people are the people that are against it are the ones that like the spirit of the free open bracket that the FGC and Smash was raised upon. That like you could everyone is on the same level field. There's no one gets special treatment. So there's like that argument that people will bring up towards that.
I think it depends on the game. I think it depends on the consistency of the game, because I don't think I was pro floating in like Smash 4, because that game was wildly inconsistent.
Wow. Most definitely.
Yeah. Like, in Ultimate, even though we've had like upsets here and there, we've never had even close to a bracket like Civil War. And that's just like the most extreme example. Like, there are several tournaments. Like, think about the CEO when like Anti won. Like, that grand finals was anti-Zenodo.
Yeah.
And all of the top players were there.
Yeah, False. I think False even got in the top eight, too. So
yeah, he did. Yeah, his
Luigi. He played some anime song. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, but the consistency for Ultimate is definitely a lot higher.
Yeah, definitely.
It makes sense to me, you know, how floating works. I think that it really depends. It's a time and place thing. Not every tournament needs to be a floated situation. Like, if Evo decided to float their top players out of the round one pools, I'd be like, all right, whatever, that makes sense. You still have to play through pools again anyway.
Yeah.
But if
nothing crazy, just like round two.
Yeah. But like if SmashCon did it, like people are there to play. Most of the people are like there to play their favorite top players in any way they can. So I'm sure like even if they know they're gonna lose, they're still like, oh shit, I get to play Nairo round two, or I get to play Leo round two or whatever. So you can't really float over there. So it really is a time and place thing. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, they could even strike like a happy compromise, like, hey, we'll float you if you happen to do like a meet and greet type thing. Like, I don't know how crazy that would be, because that feels like too many asterisks by it. But like, there's definitely things to do.
Yeah. So, guys, as I said, man, that's the one half the owner and the creator of Quarantine Series. You got a lot of good questions for us. Also, you didn't have anything else, right? I don't want to cut you off.
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say to the people about Quarantine Series that I may have not asked you myself, Alfred?
Registration for the first minor event is up right now. If you just go on the Quarantine Smash GG place or the page, we have all the events lined up. We're just going to keep adding a bracket to register as the circuit progresses. So if you want to just go through and register right now, you're more than welcome to. And if you're watching this months later, the registration might still be up for whatever major is currently active, as long as it's not past like August 2020 or something.
Yeah, we're going to be quarantined until 2025, man. It's going to be a different
But one thing, isn't it crazy to think we might have like one or two DLC characters come out by the time we get to play in tournaments again?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like now people actually have a chance to really lab and not complain about shit that they're, you know.
Yeah.
They're
still gonna complain. If I can add one thing, like, I think it's so crazy how players like Cosmos are using this period to swap between Inkling and Pikachu. Like, he already was, but now is like the best time to focus on a new main.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, you have all the time in the world to just kind of practice.
And your results
is the off season. It's the off season. Here it is.
That faded off season, that fabled off season that we've been asking for forever until the conversation actually came up, and everyone.
God,
was like,
you learn to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, and now here we are, the most off of seasons right now. This is a rough outing. I don't know, actually. I don't have a time estimate of how long it's going to last. I mean, it really is up to the doctors and scientists and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I have seen a lot of scientists claim it's going to be like a seasonal thing. And so, like, they might just, like, get a vaccine for it, which means that it will likely come back again. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was, like, late summer, fall, and then we take the same precautions in spring. But again, you know, like, I'm not a professional in this, is going off what I've heard and read. Yeah. And then, you know, just because you had it once, you're not immune to having it again. So, like, there's a lot of scary precautions that you have to take.
There's so much up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think for the tournament folks, it's definitely like what we're all banking on now is that, like, will Evo get canceled or not? Like, I think that's the one that everyone's looking at now. And
I think
Kama Breaker just got canceled. And, I mean, if Evo gets canceled, I'm thinking like the next 3 months after that, pretty much you might as well just go ahead.
Bro, and like, poor Granblue, dude. Like, it just came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough out here for gaming, man.
Granblue, they're going to have, like, a beast of a player base as soon as the game goes to LAN.
Yeah.
That's probably the most rehearsed the first major will ever be.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They're getting, like, really good DLC as well. So whenever that finally pops off, it's going to be, like, a 100% completed game. I mean, it's a completed game now, but they're getting even more shit.
Yeah.
Whilst we're in quarantine. You have nothing to do but to lab. So that's going to be a very fierce first tournament.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When that comes out, you know. But guys, as I said, this hard reads. Thank you for joining us, Alfred. Thank you for giving us your time to come and talk to us about the quarantine series.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, man. Else.
And if you guys are tuning into the end of the episode, this will be on YouTube by the end of tomorrow, at the very least. This will be on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. So make sure you look out for that if you missed any part of the conversation. I'm TK Breezy. This is Alfred. That's Austie. You guys have a good night.